Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you today? Looks like we might get some moisture out of what was once Hurricane Kay.
We're supposed to be around the 60% chance.
I could go with that. 60 is good.
I got my fingers crossed.
Well, they've got 100% chance over in L.A. where they've been baking for the last week, L.A. and San Diego, where they normally do not get any moisture in September. But boy, do they need it with all mainly wildfires. Over in Southern California, it's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things. Zocalo Village Studio, here we go, Friday, September the 9th, 2022. Our radio station is KVOI 1030, the voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We have all of our programs on podcast available for you over the past almost 12 full years at BuckmasterShow.com, the Buckmaster Show Live Line. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will be doing today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we do a big media time shout out. TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan, for your support over the years. Dan Shear and the team at the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group, and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Before we introduce our newsmaker interview today, we want to introduce my partner here in the studio, and that is Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star, where he is the opinion page editor, a busy time of year with elections coming up. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. With us on the live line, Tucson City Councilwoman Nikki Lee, Democrat representing Ward 4. She is in her first four-year term, which ends next December. She is seeking re-election, as Nikki announced, I believe, on the show the last time she was with us. Nikki, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Kurt. I'm doing wonderful today. Thanks for asking.
Nikki is an Air Force veteran, wife, and mother of three from a small town in rural Illinois. The town, you've told me before, being from Illinois, I think I'd heard, is it Warsaw, Illinois?
That's right.
Whoa, I remember.
Big city.
Yeah, Warsaw, Illinois. You worked for 20 years in cybersecurity and tech fields within the defense industry. I'm interested, of course, about the city council, but I'm also interested in your current work in sustainability with the Land of Lakes Corporation, working to reverse the impact of climate change by helping farmers make changes that enable CO2 to be drawn out of the atmosphere and stored in the soil. How does that work, briefly?
Yeah, well, it's such an interesting thing, especially coming from a really high-tech background. I was speaking to an executive business leader in Tucson, and he said, what technology are you guys using? And I said, photosynthesis. Nature. It's just nature, you know, but through the process of things growing, whether it's corn, soybeans, alfalfa, a cover crop in between planting cycles, the process of growing something on the soil naturally pulls carbon out of the atmosphere and through its root system distributes the CO2 into the soil. And it stores the carbon there instead of the atmosphere. So obviously we need a whole lot more of that, as well as all of the other tech-based and nature-based solutions. But it's one area where I feel so fortunate. I get to work with rural America and urban cities, you know, across the board to work on climate change every day. So I'm the luckiest person in the world, I think.
Well, it sort of harkens back to your roots in rural Illinois, in the farming area there in Illinois. Land O'Lakes, are they still based in the Twin Cities?
They are. Yep. Mm. Farmer-owned cooperative. So it's the first time I've worked in an environment, in a 9-to-5 capacity where it's not shareholder focused. It's really focused on the member owner folks who actually own the cooperative.
Mm. And of course, you can work remotely.
I can work remotely, which is really nice. I get to go up to Minnesota a couple times a year, and I try to time it when it's not 20 below zero. So, you know, that's the plan.
Get the best of both worlds. But it just shows how the whole workforce, where people are working, how that has changed with the remote capability. I want to talk about, you know, speaking of sustainability, what we are facing, Councilwoman Lee, with this water situation, are we going to have to dip into our kind of our cherished CAP water that we've been storing for the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, this issue, as well as our houseless issue, are the two things that I lay awake at night and problem solve in my brain around our water security. I know that we just voted to go ahead and request our full allocation of cap water this year, to which I did ask, you know, just for some clarity, because in previous years, mayor and council decided not to request the full allocation to signal, you know, our need and desire to keep water on the lake in the system. And in peeling back the layers, it became clear that if we don't request our full allocation for the residents of the city of Tucson, someone else will get allocated the portion instead of us. So that was kind of the strategy behind requesting the full allocation this year, because I've been looking at how we're going to do this. I don't know exactly when that is going to trigger, Bill. I know we're doing everything we can to secure the water rights for the folks here in Tucson. And we've been, you know, as a community for decades, good stewards of our water resources, because we've had to be. So I have a lot of faith in the people who are in leadership in the water department, my colleagues on mayor and council, as well as our community, to be leaders in this space.
City Council decision came after the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation announced in August that last month, Arizona will be, its allocation will be reduced by 21%. That's huge next year.
It is. It is huge next year. And I know that we're, you know, looking at every possible solution to encourage conservation, which I feel, you know, we have been doing collectively as a community a really great job of doing. I mean, just when I drive through Phoenix, or you were talking about the weather in LA, we have family out in LA, the amount of irrigation that happens, the water usage for green lawns and stuff, that continues to go down. And in Tucson, we haven't seen a lot of that for a long time. So I think we're going to be looking at every way we can continue to enlist the community in our conservation goals as it relates to water.
Here's Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt.
I had a question about the process of it. When the city requests their allocation, is that just like a formality that we're going to get everything we request, or is there another process that has to take place?
From my understanding, it's a formality. We have to kind of put our order in with the proper people, I guess, for mm-hmm. the lack of a better word. And then we expect that we're, you know, like other jurisdictions and states, we're not going to get what we're asking for, but we had to put our order in by a certain date. And so I'm sure that as things continue to evolve, even on a, you know, weekly, if not daily basis, sure, we won't get the full allocation that we requested, because it's just not going to be available for a lot of us.
Oh, interesting.
So if we hadn't taken it, and we had Councilman Kasachek with us on yesterday, actually, he was saying from a philosophical standpoint, it would set a good example, but you're saying realistically, somebody else would have gobbled up the water.
I agree with Councilmember Kasachek's intention 100%, which is why I asked prior to the council meeting, why did we do this? And I think it was 2017, 2018, not request our full allocation, but we are now when the system is in much more of a critical state. And that was the explanation that I received, which does make sense because they're basically, you know, taking orders. They've got this pot of product, essentially, and they're taking orders. And if there's something left over, it's going to go somewhere else. So, you know, our job is really to represent the best interest of the people in the city of Tucson. And that was one of those steps that we felt, the majority of us felt we needed to do. But I completely agree with what Steve is saying. And I think we've been leading the way and we'll continue to lead the way as we try to navigate this.
It's a difficult time. It would be a bad time to have these water cutbacks, even if we didn't have this situation out by the airport with the solvent that was used to the foaming solvent that was used there that seeped into our water supply. This is a difficult time, and that has to be cleaned up.
It does, and that has been a top focus for years as well, working with the Arizona Department of Environment, Environmental Quality, as well as the DOD, the Air Force, all of the key stakeholders we've been able to work well with to get funding allocated for this type of cleanup and to get it prioritized. Because you're absolutely right, it's a key piece of it. We can have water stored, we can have water in places, but if we can't use it, it's not going to do what we need for the community. So definitely key integrated into this whole conversation, absolutely.
And I do want to clarify, say it has seeped into our water supply. It has seeped in certainly into the groundwater, but people are not, Tucson Water is not serving up any water that has any of these particular contaminants, correct?
That's correct. Those sites are closed off. We actually have more stringent requirements for the water that will serve compared to what is the federal standard in terms of parts per billion or trillion. I'm not 100% sure, but very finite traces of it. It's not going to be served. So we are making sure that the water that we do serve is safe for people. That's huge top priority.
You know, sustainability is what you do now for a living, and I'm sure you reflect on the fact that we live in an area now where water has become just the number one issue, and you just have to wonder about the future sustainability with newcomers coming and new housing being built. Just some of your thoughts generally, Councilwoman Lee, about the sustainability of Tucson, Arizona.
That's something, Bill, that I think about and talk about and annoy my husband in my out loud brainstorming all the time because I'm a very future-oriented person, so I'm looking way down the field to see how this is all going to shake out. I think that it's absolutely critical that at the state level, I know that they've allocated a lot of money to explore alternative water sources. Desalination, I think, is probably our best bet to do some of the work that we need to do to add to our supply. I don't see, unfortunately, all the work that we're doing, I don't see immediate changes to the climate crisis that we're facing. I feel that there's absolute critical emphasis on what we can do to reduce the impacts, to lower our carbon emissions, as well as equally important to figure out how we're going to adapt to what has already been set in motion. So we've got to play both of those strings at the same time. And so for me, I really am looking heavily to how we're going to look at that long-term strategy. I know they're doing some stuff in California. I don't remember if it's San Diego, but big desalination operation. And then we have the other side of that with the brine that is a byproduct of that and what that does from an ecological standpoint. So there's nothing is ever very straightforward. But we've definitely got to look as a state, as a region, at what are other long-term water sources are, and I think that the technology is available. If you look at what they're doing in the Midwest or the Middle East, I think there's stuff that we can do, but we've got to really put the pedal to the metal and go.
Here you go, Kurt. You're up to the plate. Go ahead.
Hi, with regard to desalination, what do you think about Governor Ducey's idea to build a desalination plant in Mexico?
So from everything that I've read and looked at what they're doing in the Middle East, it seems like it's not the most attractive means for increasing water supply, but it works. And so for me, where we're at right now, I think that should be something that we're strongly considering doing. It's close to us geographically. And I think it makes a lot of sense to explore the feasibility of that option over some of the other things that they're floating around. Because I think we could get hung up in court for decades figuring out how to build pipelines from the Midwest, you know, the Great Lakes. I think that we've got to move quickly. And that seems like something that works and something we could do quickly, relatively speaking.
Listener Richard has emailed me, and by the way, folks are always, we welcome input. You can call us on the live line, or you can send me an email. And Richard asks, why not require people to cover their swimming pools to stop evaporation?
I'm writing that down right now, yeah. Richard, cover swimming pools. I saw recently of a pilot in California for a specific area where they are putting solar panels over part of their canal to slow down evaporation, which I know is I've heard people talk about for years. It's pretty expensive, but they're piloting that. So I love that idea as well. So I wrote that down to see how we may be able to look at something like that, just to slow down evaporation, slow down water consumption. So Richard, brilliant idea. Thanks for bringing that to the table.
And any folks that have any other ideas, now would be a great time to add your 2 cents. 790-2040 is our lifeline number. Give us a call and we will put you on the air. Kurt, anything more before we take the break on water, or should we move on?
Yeah, I have another question. Conservation, you know, I think, you know, raising prices is one of the ways that, you know, generally things are conserved. Could you give us a sense in the council's conversations, where does raising rates for Tucson water customers fit?
Yeah, great question. And I think a lot of people are anticipating this. And realistically, from a supply and demand standpoint, we're going to have to talk about that very soon, because we're still going to have the same costs for operations and maintenance of our infrastructure, and we're going to be selling essentially less water to people. So we're going to have these conversations just to be able to keep the lights on within the utility. And I do think that as we have those conversations, that, you know, it's a hard time for people with inflation. It's painful. And it also applies at the city level in terms of how economically we're going to be able to balance these changes that are coming our way.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Roberta has a question for the Ward 4 Tucson City Councilwoman Nikki Lee. Go ahead, Roberta.
Okay, the federal government has set aside $9 billion towards water. Can that be used to build a desalination plant?
Roberta, who set aside that? Did you say $9 billion?
The federal government, when they passed that bill on those other items, they added that in, and nobody talks about it. I've only heard it a couple of times.
You're talking about the infrastructure bill. Nikki Lee, have you heard anything about that?
There's so much in the infrastructure bill, and Roberta, I'm glad that you brought that up, because what I think the state is looking at right now is, I want to say they allocated $1 billion to look at feasibility and study and take some initial steps in possibly that option as one of the ones that they're looking at. So what I suspect will happen at the state level, they'll do their research, they'll do their study and figure out what the feasible approach is, and then they'll look for that federal funding as a source, because obviously we're not going to be able to do this alone, especially if we're talking about coming through Mexico to bring water up. So I think that's a great point, possibly a source of revenue to be able to cover some stuff like this. So I'm hopeful that the state will figure out what the optimal solution is, and then we'll aggressively get the funding we need to make this happen, because every day counts.
Roberta, thank you for calling us. Line 3, we've got Jill calling for Councilwoman Nikki Lee. Go ahead, Jill. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I think it is absolutely outrageous that we flush our toilets with drinking water. I do not know why every new construction isn't already having a built-in gray water system to recycle shower water into toilets, and why there is a retroactive plan also for existing structures.
Okay. Nikki Lee.
Great, Jill. Thanks for bringing that topic up too, because it is painful to see that water just go down the drain and not be utilized right there on the site. One of the things that we do have in play right now is our climate action and adaptation study. I was just briefed this week, actually, on some of the initial strategies that are coming out of that in terms of policy that we can look at adopting and different educational techniques that we can use around climate in general, with water being a really key piece of this conversation. I know that we do have a requirement for new homes to be stubbed out for that type of capability. A lot of homeowners choose not to go through and put the full system in. I know my house was built 10 years ago and it's got the plumbing essentially there. So that could be something as part of this discovery that we realize we need to more aggressively put into place. Right now, the plumbing is required for new homes, but again, it's up to the homeowner to put the extra cost in to do that. But that's a good point. I've written that down as well, just things that we can continue to look at as we work toward conservation.
Excellent suggestions coming in from the Buckmaster Show listeners. Yes. Let's go to line 4 and see what Larry has to say. Hey, Larry.
Oh, hello. Yeah, thanks for a good topic. And just a couple comments. One comment about the thing about covering the swimming pool. I think that would be an issue in the summertime because that would heat the water up a lot. And then you would have issues with, you'd have to use a lot more chemicals and so forth, to keep the algae down. Mm-hmm. But perhaps that might not be a bad idea during the wintertime.
Yeah.
Just a couple comments. And thanks again for your topic. This is a nice topic. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Larry. Thanks to everybody who called in. We're going to still take some calls after we take a break with Councilwoman Nikki Lee, Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star sticks around. But right now we want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. We love Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's open for breakfast, 6:30, and they close at 3, Tuesday through Saturday. Their hours 7 to 2 on Sunday. They are closed on Monday. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
All righty then, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition with Tucson City Councilwoman, Democrat Ward 4, Councilwoman Nikki Lee, who wraps up her first full four-year term at the end of next year. And Nikki, you announced the last time you were on the show, you're seeking re-election. So are you excited about possibly another four-year term?
Yeah, you know, you have a way of bringing things out, Bill. I wasn't even planning on talking about that at the time, but I'm glad that you asked the question, because it's definitely exciting to think about what another 4 years could look like. You know, I came into office and I remember, you know, a lot of people say my first 100 days. Well, on my 100th day, that's when they actually declared that COVID was a pandemic. Mm. And so a lot of my time serving so far has really been tied to dealing with that type of crisis. And then now we're dealing with a water crisis, a housing crisis, crisis. But it's given me a lot of opportunity to grow. And I'm definitely, extra focused on, now that we've gotten through a lot of this pandemic, now what can we really start digging into and moving the needle forward?
Here's my co-host, my co-media host. Friday, we bring in one of our media friends, Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt's the opinion page editor. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I'm curious, supposing you have some time that isn't just completely taken over by a crisis, what are some of those issues you'd like to tackle?
Oh, for sure. Obviously, water, right? We've been talking about water this whole time. A lot of it is with what we can do here locally within our own Lotus of control, personally and as a community. The housing crisis is top of mind for me. I know it is for my colleagues as well. And I'm actually, my team and I are headed to Denver next month. There's a lot of, I'm like obsessed. If you look at my YouTube search history on the videos I've watched, I've just been watching so many different strategies and things that other communities are doing to address the unsheltered population. And I care deeply about, you know, people that are focused on this issue, businesses that are focused on this issue, but more importantly to me, the people who are out there who need support and who deserve support. So that's really where my head is at most of the time, is trying to figure out different strategies. And Denver has been doing a lot of really interesting things, a different variety of strategies that they've been deploying. So we're actually going to go look, meet with some people, talk, and put some boots on the ground and see what works well, what doesn't work so well about the different things they've tried, and really try to see what we can do around housing. I think that's just absolutely critical.
How about protection for renters, something called a source of income protection for renters that is supposed to be discussed, I believe, this month by the council?
Yes. I think they also call that ban the box, but essentially not providing or providing a mechanism for a person who maybe has a different source, like a voucher for the VA for housing, The person cannot be discriminated against based on how they're going to pay their rent, whether it be a voucher, cash, whatever they're going to use. I think that's really important, because the more barriers that we can remove between a person and their ability to get housing is critical.
We talked about it a bit last time, how it just breaks your heart as an Air Force veteran when you see people who are without a home out on the street, and these people, many cases, are veterans, and in many cases, they're at the end of their rope. It's really a sad situation. They really feel they have nowhere to turn, Councilwoman Lee.
It still very much is the case, Bill, and I think we've all seen an increase, not just here in Tucson, but across the country, of people who are finding themselves in situations where they don't have shelter anymore, and it's so fragile. You know, we just had a woman this week in her 70s call our office because she was about to be evicted and had nowhere to go. In her 70s, these seniors are on fixed incomes.
Wow.
They can't just go get more money to keep up with the rates of housing increases that we're seeing, from rents to purchasing homes. People cannot keep up. Wages are not keeping up. Businesses can't keep up with paying the rates. You know, even at the city level, we talked of a cost of living allowance. I don't know any industry that can keep up with inflation right now in terms of a cost of living. So it's hard, and we're seeing it every day. Just so everyone knows, our team was able to connect this woman with Interfaith Community Services to get her aligned with housing, so everyone knows that she will be taken care of. But this is the type of stuff that we get every day. So I just feel like all of us are really one small thing away from being in that situation ourselves, and it's scary.
Kurt and I were talking during the break about how government entities, many of them, find themselves, what do we say, Kurt?
Flush with cash.
Flush with cash. Uh-huh. And I guess the city of Tucson's in that position.
Yeah, so that you have a $150 million surplus. And I'm curious, what would you like to spend that money on?
Well, you know, we, at our last meeting, we approved our supplemental budget request. I think it was 80 or 90 million in supplemental requests across the department. And I hate to spoil any excitement, but we didn't do anything flashy or fun. We really looked at key needle moving investments, you know, with our police department, with needs that they have, with public safety, really with IT, really with every department. They looked at, okay, we've got our core needs met through the base budget. What's next? And there's still more to do. You know, I think with the exception of a couple departments, we weren't recommended to fund everything to 100%. But we really looked at strategically, what are those key investments that we have to make in our departments and our staff? And then I think we're all really concerned with what's going on with the economy right now. And the previous mayor and councils have worked so hard to put us, and staff obviously, to put us in a financial situation that we find ourselves in today. And we want to be good stewards of that revenue and place ourselves to be able to weather future storms, which are inevitable.
There are so many openings, regardless of the business. I mean, I was at physical therapy yesterday for the 16th month since my broken arm accident in Alaska, and I'm still going to physical therapy. But it's at every level, shortage of PT people. It goes wherever you go. The restaurants can't get enough people. City of Tucson can't get enough people in some really critical areas. Not that all jobs aren't critical, but your own area of technology and cybersecurity, that is definitely a critical area.
It is. And what's so interesting, when I ran for office and when I first came into office before the pandemic, one of my biggest concerns was automation. You know, I was a part of the tech industry. I was responsible for people getting automated out of their jobs, and how are we going to address that? And then fast forward 2.5 years later, and we have way more jobs than we have people to fill them. So it's just interesting even how my own viewpoint has shifted, where, okay, now we really have to lean even more aggressively into automation of certain spaces, because we're not going to have the workforce, or the workforce is changing. So it's definitely hard. My focus has been always on staffing, through the lens of staffing, through everything that I've voted for, because our people are everything to our ability to deliver valuable services and high quality services to our residents. So that's something that we're continuing to talk about, look at different HR strategies.
dine in, or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We took a massive power hit. That's what happened just at the, I think we only had about one more minute with Tucson City Councilwoman Nikki Lee. And Nikki, if you're listening, thank you very much. We didn't get a chance to formally sign off with you. Thank you for a good conversation. Took a massive hit, knocked down the power lines, wasn't sure if we were on the air or off the air, but we are on the air for sure right now with Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star, opinion page editor at the Arizona Daily Star, very busy time of year. Kurt, you're doing a lot of candidate interviews.
Oh, yeah, that's taken up a lot of our weeks now.
So what would you like to hear from our listeners?
Well, so what we've done so far is we've interviewed some legislative candidates, congressional candidates, and now we're starting on school board candidates. And so I would just like to put a call out to Star readers and the general public that if there are things you want us to ask these candidates, please let us know. You can reach us at staropinions@tucson.com. And feel free, just any issue, any question, just let us know.
And in the past, you would do these candidate interviews and there would be some kind of formal endorsement. There won't be this time with the Star. Mm-hmm. Times have changed when newspapers started doing these kind of endorsements. People maybe, you know, they didn't have maybe the internet. Well, I know they didn't have the internet. Mm-hmm, they didn't have... all these extra sources for content. Sure. To find out more about candidates. So now you're doing this more as a service and then archiving these interviews, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I think the situation right now is you can't escape politicians. Yeah. During this time. So you get your texts, your emails everywhere. And so what we've done is we are... you know, just trying to give you like the building blocks that the voters need to make an informed choice. And so with these candidate interviews, you know, we select, I go through like letters to the editor and just try to get a feel for what are the main issues people are talking about. And then I just ask these questions. I've kind of been doing it. I ask like a set of questions to each of the candidates, you know, for legislative, each of the candidates for congressional and so on. So that's kind of when we do when my call out to readers is kind of help me create that set of questions that we should ask the school board candidates.
Well, based on just today's interview with Nikki Lee, when we brought up the subject of water, which pretty much dominated our conversation, you saw the response. Public wants to talk. People want to talk about this. So I'm sure you bring that up when you've done some legislative interviews and brought up the water thing. How are we going to solve this water crisis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm asking everybody. And I mean, I think the general answer, if I could condense all of them into it, is we got to figure it out. I haven't heard like the silver bullet solution or anything like that. For people close to Tucson, those candidates, they tend to point to agriculture, the use of water by agriculture, as something that needs to be fixed. For example, doing drip irrigation rather than the flood irrigation, that comes up quite a bit. But in general, I don't think that we've figured out exactly what we need to do.
You recently interviewed the candidates for are there two vacancies on the TUSD school board, two or three? And you interviewed the candidates. What were the topics in that area for school board?
Yeah, so what I asked was, again, pulling from the issues brought up in the letters to the editor, you know, school safety, you know, that's a big issue. We have, unfortunately, school board members now have to deal with a lot of like insulting behavior at school board meetings.
Yes, combative behavior.
Yeah, so you know, how do you plan to deal with that? And then also with the expansion of the voucher program, you know, I just want to know like how do you plan to deal with that? I know right now it looks like 75% of the vouchers are going to people who are already in private school, but I have no idea what's going to happen in the coming years if we're going to have districts like TUSD. Are they going to lose a lot of students who are going to take their voucher money and go somewhere else? So, you know, if you're on the governing board, that's a loss of revenue. What are you going to do?
For the letters to the editor, it seems like you get a lot on abortion, right?
Sure.
You get a lot on that. Is water one of the big ones, too, for you?
Yeah, and that's actually kind of it's kind of comforting in a way. Because a lot of the letters that I get about water are people trying to put forth a solution. You know, and we have a lot of, you know, professional people locally who'll write guest opinions saying, you know, we should do this, we should do that. So, yeah, the water is on people's minds for sure and trying to come up with a solution.
If someone would like to do a guest opinion, what's the procedure? What's the protocol for having an opinion piece published?
Yeah, so we have a submission portal. It's tucson.com/opinion. And you can get directions there. It's kind of filling in the box, so to speak. And there's instructions for, you know, what information you need to include.
You covered the border for years, and the border is obviously a kind of a third rail topic, especially it seems for the Republican candidates. When you hear the Republican candidates in their ads, that the candidates will say, "Well, I'm going to be tough on the border. I'm going to stop illegal immigration," and we've been hearing that for, it seems, forever.
Right?
same rhetoric. What's the answer as far as you're concerned?
I think if I had the answer, I'd be president. I think that inevitably we're going to have some type of visa reform. Guest worker, something like that.
Reform of guest worker programs.
Yeah, and I think that idea actually is getting traction, you know, in the Republican Party. I think there's definitely a layer that's, you know, like the Carrie Lake and the Blake Masters, you know, that are like, we're going to shut it down, it's an invasion, and all that's, I just don't think that's helpful for the conversation. But I think digging deeper, there are other candidates who, you know, would be agreeable to having a guest worker program.
We're going to have to do something about finding enough people for the workforce. I mean, we were talking earlier in the show, the city of Tucson's got shortages. Everybody's got shortages. So somehow importing labor has got to be part of the mix, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. I mean, you know, for decades and decades and decades, that's been one of the ways that we make sure we have enough people to work. I don't know if there's also, you know, training programs for some of the workers in the United States that could help them enter the workforce in a new way and fill new slots. But immigration is certainly going to be part of it.
And I just got an email from Nikki Lee's office. Bless their hearts. Councilwoman Lee said, thank you for the opportunity to speak on the air. She's sorry that she crashed our phone system. Also, she wanted to mention that folks can always email her at ward4@tucsonaz.com. And we thank Councilwoman Nikki Lee for her participation today on The Buckmaster Show. And Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star, opinion page editor. Kurt, thank you also for your participation.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Matt Russell is up with some great ideas for the weekend. Usually he's got three or four picks of some interesting things that we should know about. Namely when it comes to dining opportunities. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
So I'm going to wrap it up right here by saying the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by a gentleman that I met over on the island of Madeira named Christophan, a young man from Munich, Germany, really talented young guy. did some original music for us, which we use at the open and the close of the program. Also, my thanks to Rose Brandt. Rose has been with me since we started the radio show almost a dozen years ago. Make sure all of our podcasts are up in a very timely fashion. Everybody here at KVOI, the entire team, including my engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, who had to work a little bit extra today, trying to get to sort out some of the issues with the phone lines. At least we were able to get most of our newsmaker interview, with the exception of about 1 minute, on the air. So that worked out, but I'm sorry, couldn't get Matt Russell on the air with Weekend Watch. So thanks to the entire team at Bustos Media here in Tucson for making us feel so welcome. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.